It's interesting that Brother Mike, I didn't even speak to him early when he came in, but he sung this song, Wonderful City of God. And my text is going to come from John chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles tonight, and I trust that you do, let's turn to the book of John chapter 14 and looking at verse number 1. John chapter 14 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I want you to pay attention to this verse, because this is really where I'm coming from tonight. In verse 3 it says, and I go to prepare, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. For a few minutes tonight, I want to talk on the subject, are you ready for the return of Christ? Are you ready for the return of Christ? Notice in the text that Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. And one thing that he does, he makes it clear to them that after his death, after his burial and his resurrection, he will ascend to heaven, where he will sit on his throne to rule over his kingdom, the church of Christ, which is his body. But he informs them also that when he goes, that he will come again. This is throughout all of the scriptural texts, knowing that when Jesus was to leave us, that there will be a day, there will be a time, there will be an hour, and that he will come back and receive us unto himself. Now, for a child of God, this is going to be a glorious day, because for a child of God who has continued to be obedient to God's word, we are looking forward to that return of Christ. But there are those who are not going to be so happy to see him, because for them it will be a reckoning of their sins in which they have committed. I think of the scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive, that is those who are good, those who are bad, that everyone is going to receive something. It says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So no matter what situation you might be, whatever situation it is that you're in, there is going to be no escaping the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone will receive those things which they have done in their body according to what they have done, whether good or bad. Now, when we consider this great and glorious coming event, and we look at some of the biblical facts concerning this, we realize that this is very important for us to understand and know what it is about the return of Christ that we need to know in order for us to be ready. First thing we need to know is that the return of Christ is unknown. We have no time schedule. There is nothing in the Bible that gives us when Christ will return. All we know is that he said and he promised that he will return. Now, why is this important for us to know? Well, it's important for us to know because of the fact that there are so many people who are out here in the world that are trying to predict when Christ will return. And they try to use so many different types of methods to get us to try to believe that they have some information that not even the word of God has given to us. I want you to remember back in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus had begun to talk to his disciples about the destruction of Jerusalem. He gave it to them in what you might say in parallel standards and understanding that there will be a time when Jerusalem will fall. They asked him three questions. One of the questions that they asked him was, when will these things happen? And then the second question they asked him is about a sign of its coming. And the third question that they asked him was about the end of the age. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 36, Jesus gives an answer to that third question as to when will be the end of the age. And notice what he says. He says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but who? My Father only. So it's important for us to understand this because we have so many people who are out there trying to teach and trying to predict and trying to tell you when Christ is coming back. And they try to use all these different methods. Some try to use the scriptures. They manipulate the scriptures and twist the scriptures to try to give some sort of time date of when he's coming. Some of them have tried to use the stars, use astronomy to try to figure this out. And even religious people who are listening to other people who don't even believe in God about the end of the world try to bring that into their understanding of, well, if the end of the world is coming, if a big meteor is going to hit the earth and is going to destroy the earth, then that's when Christ is coming back. But those events are just commonplace. Those events that they talk about are just things that are commonly happening. As far as it being anything to do with the coming of Christ, we have no knowledge of it. The only one that knows is the Father. Now, why is this dangerous? Because of the fact that because certain people begin to teach this type of thing, they are leading hundreds and even thousands of people away from the truth of the word and following the truth of them. Men like Charles Taze Russell, who is the founder of the Jehovah's Witness sect, and he predicted in 1914 that Jesus was coming back. 1914. Men like William Miller, who was the founder of the Seventh-day Adventists, he predicted in 1844 that Christ was coming back. We also have men like Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, who predicted in 1891 that Christ was coming back. But guess what? It didn't happen. We're still here because no one knows the time of Christ's return. Now, does this matter? Every single one of those men that I just mentioned have thousands of people still following their teachings to this day. And I think about this because I read somewhere in the Bible where it said if a prophet predicts something that doesn't come true, then they are a false prophet. And it boggles my mind that when people could read the scriptures and see that, and then when people come along like these men, teaching this false doctrine, this false teaching, but still today they have thousands of people still following them and their teachings, something's wrong. That's why this is so dangerous. Some people might say, well, what's the big deal? They want to predict big deal. No, the big deal is that they are leading people astray with their false teachings and their false doctrines. Even up to this time, and there was a man by the name of Hal Lindsey who stated that it was supposed to end in 19, or the tribulation was supposed to start in 1988 and climax in 1995, and then the Battle of Armageddon. And all this leads to is this false idea of a premillennial kingdom in which God is going to set up when Christ comes back only to receive the saints, take out, according to Jehovah's Witness, take out just 144,000, and then leave the rest of us here, which we're going to go through 7 years of tribulation, and then Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years while Christ comes back and set up his kingdom, when we know the Bible teaches that the kingdom is already here. And that it is the church that Jesus built. But we have thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, who are believing this false doctrine because they're following false men who are teaching us and telling us that they know when Christ is coming back. So for us to understand the scriptures and know that the Bible teaches not even Christ knows when he's coming back. That is left up to the Father and the Father only. So the first thing we need to know is that upon the return of Christ, we don't know. So you know what that means? Just be ready. That's all. Just be ready. Because at any moment, at any time, he can return. And we just need to be watchful. And we need to be ready. Second thing that we don't notice about the return of Christ is that his return was promised. Jesus himself makes this promise, and we see this in chapter 14 and verse number 3, where he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again. So the return is promised. And if he promised it, we can be assured that he will come. But not only that, not only did he promise it, but the angels confirmed it as well. Remember over in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, Jesus had been with his disciples after his resurrection, and he had spent about 40 days with them on and off. Now, before Pentecost was to come and the church was going to be born, he was ascending back to heaven to sit on his throne, to rule over his kingdom. And as he ascended back, we see that the apostles who watched him ascend on a cloud were still standing there gazing in the sky. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, it says that the angel came to them and it said to them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So not only did Jesus say he's coming again, but the angels confirmed it, that there will be a day when he's going to come back for you and I. And not only that, the Apostle Paul, in his writings into the church of Thessalonica, notice what he says here in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7. He says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And then once again, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 15, the Bible says here, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. He says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we see by the truths of the Bible, by the words of the Word, that the promise of his coming is confirmed. And if it's confirmed, then the promise is sure. Christ will return. So, I say this to us, those of us who are anticipating this great reunion with the Lord, all we have to do is just hang in there. He's coming. Just hang in there. I know sometimes times get rough. I know sometimes we look like we want to turn back to the world, or we wonder if Christ is coming. It's been over 2,000 years. I had a gentleman say that to me not too long ago when I was back home visiting Syracuse. He said, you Christians are waiting for Christ to come back, and it's been so long. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I've heard that before. I said, but guess what? I didn't mean to insult him, so I put myself in the category. I said, you ought to be glad he hadn't come back. Because if he had, look where you would be. I put myself in that category, though. I didn't want to insult him. But the fact is that Christ might be tarrying, but for some people, that's just giving you an opportunity to get it right before he does come. Because when he comes, as they say, ball game's over. That's it. And he promised that he will come. And the promise is sure. So for those of us who are anticipating, just hang in there. I think of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 10 and 23. He says, let us hold fast to our profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And then when we talk about the return of Christ, we have to look at the nature of his return. The first thing I think about is that it's going to be personal. And here in our text in John 14 and 3, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I make that personal because he's preparing a place for me. This place that he says has many mansions. And some of your texts probably says many rooms. And I like that because the fact is I don't really need a mansion. Just give me a room. I'll be okay with just a room. But he said there are many rooms, and one of those rooms is for me. If I continue to be obedient to his word and follow him faithfully, he's coming back for me, and it's going to be personal. And you know, I know this because Jesus knows all of us by name. In John chapter 10 and verse number 3, notice what the Bible says here. It says, to him, that is the shepherd of the sheep, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by what? By name. And he leads them out. See, I know God knows me. I know God knows you. Because God cares for those who are his. And then the second thing that we see about the nature of his coming is that it's going to be visible. We already read 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, the word that is going, he's going to be revealed. But in 1 John chapter 2, in verse number 28, notice what it says. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, that's a visible thing. It says that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And I like what the Revelator John writes in Revelations 1 and 7 when he says, behold, he cometh with clouds. And it says, every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. There was a time back home in Syracuse where a couple of gentlemen from the Jehovah's Witness faith came, and they have a problem with Jesus coming in visible form. And I pointed out this scripture to them, and they said, well, that just means that the spiritual eye will see him. And I said, no, that's not what it means. This is talking about the physical eye will see him. And he said, they got a little, you know, you get that frowned up look on your face. He looked at me and he said, oh, you think that everybody in the world will be able to see him at the same time? I'm thinking to myself, do you know who you're talking about? The one who created all of this? And it just so happened that it was getting to be dawn or dusk, I should say. And I saw the sun over here. And I saw the moon over here. And I said, a God that can help me to see the sun and the moon at the same time can obviously help me to see him and everybody else at the same time. So if the Bible says that every eye shall see him, count on it. Every eye shall see him. His coming will be visible. And then not only that, his coming will be audible as well. Not only will we see him, but we're going to hear him as well. When our Lord comes again, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 52 says, he says, in the moment and the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, I think about this, and I think about when the children of Israel was leaving Egypt, when God had delivered them from Pharaoh's hands. And one of the things that he told them to do as they were wandering through on their way to Canaan, he told them to construct two silver trumpets. Some of you probably remember that from our study in the Old Testament. And those trumpets were being used by the children of Israel at the command of God to give them instructions of what they were supposed to do. One trump, they were supposed to come to the door of the tabernacle. I think it was two. If it was just one trump, just the elders were to come. If it was blown two or three times, then it was to be advanced. Everybody was to get together, and they were to advance. But the trumpets were used as an audible sign to give the instructions to the children of Israel. Here we have the idea that the Bible is teaching us that when the trumpet sounds, we are all going to be gathered together for the return of Christ. And when we do, like I said, for those of us who are anticipating this and faithful living, it's going to be a wonderful and glorious day. You see, you know when you do something when you're a kid and you do something wrong? The last thing you want to hear is your mom or dad hollering from you from the other room, knowing that when they get there, oh, it's going to be some trouble. But when you know you did something right and you hear them coming through the door, you know, wash the dishes, you may even done cooked a meal, and you anticipate the fact that when they come in that door and they look at you and they get that smile on their face and say, you're such a good child. That's how I want to be when Jesus comes. I don't want him coming back and saying, you old bad kid. And I wind up paying for that which I know that I deserve. I want him to come in and say, you are such a good child. Welcome in, my good and faithful servant. And then, not only will his coming be audible, but his coming will be accompanied by the angels. In Matthew chapter 6 and 27, the Bible says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And then we notice this about his coming. It's going to be unexpected. We don't know when he's going to come. We know he is going to come, but when he comes, it will be unexpected. Turn your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3 and looking at verse number 10. And I want you to see what the Apostle Peter talks about when he talks about this coming and return of the Lord. He says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10, he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. You see, it's going to be unexpected. And if you get a chance, you read over to Matthew chapter 25 about the 10 virgins, how we had five that were prepared and five that wasn't. And we noticed that they had journeyed out to meet the bridegroom. Five that were prepared had brought extra provisions for their lamps. The five that weren't did not. And since the bridegroom tarried, we just talked about that, about the Lord, the five who had not brought the oil, their lamps went out. And it was their responsibility, because when they asked for oil from the other ones, the other virgins said, listen, we can't give you ours. I'm paraphrasing the text, obviously, because then we will run out. So what did they do? They went back to the village to get it. But what happened when they got back? The bridegroom had come. And this is one of the verses that can be very, very traumatic to those who have not been or are not following the Lord. It says, and the door was shut. There's going to be a time when time is up, and your opportunity to come to Christ will be no more. That's why the Bible says, in the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So here we find that it's going to be unexpected. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't have a time frame. We don't have an hour. Not even down to the minute. But we know that he's coming. And Peter says it's going to be like a thief in the night. Unexpected. So what does that mean? We just need to be ready. And then fourthly, we need to understand what the purpose of his return will be. And the purpose of his return, as we can see, is he's coming to receive to himself those who have been faithful unto him, to receive us, to take us back with him, where he has prepared for us a wonderful, beautiful home in heaven. Isn't that great to know? That though he left us with everything that we need to have in order for us to be able to receive him when he comes back, so that he might give to us our just reward. And for those who are living faithfully, like I said, it's going to be a glorious day. But be not mistaken. He is also coming back for something else. He's coming back to bring eternal punishment to all those who have denied God and have not obeyed his commands. Once again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8 through verse number 9, look what it says. And flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So he's coming back, and it's coming for some, it's going to be great, but for others, it is going to be a time of reckoning. So that's why it's so vitally important for us today to understand that, first of all, he's coming back. And second of all, how we should be when he returns. And thirdly, we need to understand that we just need to be ready when he does. Revelation chapter 22 and 12, the Bible says, and behold, and this is Jesus speaking, he said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. So the question tonight is, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Because one thing you can be assured of, he is coming again. Now, you get ready first by obeying the gospel, because this is what the Bible says. We have to be obedient to the gospel. And the gospel is just not just a mere fact of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what happened. But we have to be obedient to the understanding of what Christ did for us, why he did it for us. And then when we understand that, we become obedient to what he says we must do to be saved. So the first thing you need to do is hear the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then we need to repent of our sins. We need to make that change in our lives that we are no longer going to walk by the world's standards, but we're going to walk by the standards of God. And then because you believe in him, we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That confession brought death to many, but it will also bring, through our obedience, eternal life to us. And then we must be baptized, that is, be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, so that we might come up from that water to walk in the newness of life. And it's new because when we are baptized into Christ, when we are faithful in obeying his word, God washes away our sins. And that's a wonderful feeling to have when God washes away your sins. But then it becomes important for you to continue living a faithful life until death. And if you would do that, when he returns, he's going to take you and give you that room in heaven, that wonderful place, which is that wonderful city of God. Are you ready for his return? We have a song that we have picked out tonight. Mike, what was it again? 309. Hymn number 309. If you grab your songbooks now, Brother Mike is going to come and lead us, and if you need to come, please come as we stand and as we sing.